All right, our reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Put your device down or your Bible down. Turn to your neighbor. Grab them by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. They ain't going to bite you. Grab them by both hands. Look them square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, what do you do with good news?" Neighbor, what do you do with good news? Let that person's hand go. Turn and point to somebody else just in case they didn't get it. Just point at them. Point at them and say, "Neighbor, what do you do with good news?" Neighbor, what do you do with good news? Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message for this 11 a.m. service, "What do you do with good news?" You know, this is a time of year where us as Christians are excited. We're excited because we understand why we are Christians. We understand all that the Lord has done for us. You see, we saw all the works that he did prior to his crucifixion. We understood that while he was here on this earth, he was consistent. He said what he was going to do. He did specifically what he said. He loved folk. And on top of that, he did not sin. And as he lived this life, he showed us how to have the victory. As he lived this life, he showed us how we can live a life victorious and pleasing in the sight of the Father. And then he recognized in order for us to seal the deal, he had to go to the cross. Amen. And they took him to the cross. And as they nailed him to the cross, we know about the last seven expressions. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they go on from there. "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes on and it's good. But I want you to know, some folk question that, why would we call Friday good? Knowing all the pain and suffering that he went through. You see, I want you to understand, he was working all that together for our good. You see, that's why we call it, because what he went through sure enough wasn't good, but he was working it together for our good. And as he went through all that and while he was there on the cross, and I want you to understand that those who were crucified were non-Roman citizens and they had committed state crimes against the Roman government. Those were the people that were crucified. And we know Jesus did none of these things that would cause him to be crucified. But the one thing that he did was he had to go through it because he took the sin of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Better yet, say it like this. He took my sin to the cross. Amen. It was nailed to that cross. Now, if I can get you to go with me, imagine Mary Magdalene and his other Mary. How the Lord had healed and delivered them. How they watched how Jesus went around doing nothing but good. How they saw him heal the sick, allowed the lame to walk, gave sight to the blind. They saw him do miraculous things because they also saw what he had did for them, and they were excited. And now they're looking at him on the cross. Blood coming from his forehead, from the thorn of crowns they put around his head. Blood coming from his legs and his hands that were nailed. And people who were there looking up at him, mocking him, saying, "You saved others, why don't you save?" Could you imagine what Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were feeling right now? And they saw nothing but a good man up there who was suffering and going through something he did nothing for. But it had to be that way because he was gone to the cross for us. And then they were there when they saw him say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Sky was dark. His head drops. They see that he's dead. And they were there when they saw them take the nails out of his hands. They were there when they saw him take the nail out of his feet. They were there when they saw them wrap his body on that Friday. They were there when they took him to the tomb. They saw all this on Friday. They were devastated. But the interesting thing about how Matthew tells his account of these women, Reverend Rhodes, what we see here is that it tells us specifically here in verse number one that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary just went to the tomb to just see the tomb. They knew they couldn't go in and see Jesus, but they just wanted to see the tomb. It doesn't mention anything about them coming to embalm his body. They just wanted to be close to the man who made a difference in their lives. They realized they wouldn't be where they are if it had not been for Jesus and all the changes Jesus made for them. And now the one whom they love is now, in their minds, dead, body wrapped, and he's in the tomb. You see, they were there even when his other disciples scattered when they came to get Jesus. Yes. They were there when he went through all that suffering. And now he is dead. So he stayed in that tomb all night Friday. He was in that tomb all day and night Saturday. Yes. But Deacon Rosa, I want you to know something happened at the dawn of Sunday morning. And what we see happening here at the dawn of Sunday morning, it says in verse number two, suddenly there was a great earthquake that the ground started to shake. And I want you to know at this time, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were right there at the tomb. And don't you know there were some guards there too? And as you know, as the ground began to shake, don't you know an angel descended from heaven? He came and the angel just rolled the stone away. And Deacon Booth, after he rolled the stone away, he just sat on it. He said, "Well, do you see what happened?" But check it out, y'all. Now, we got to look at this story real close. That's right, baby. La, la. The guards. The guards. Dudes with swords and shields. I want you to know, Noah, that when they saw this angel, whose appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow, when they saw him, they punked out and just fainted. Oh. Brother Phil, they said they were like they were dead because they fainted. But they didn't die, they fainted. But can you imagine, the only two folk that were standing there, Reverend Rose, was the two women. Brothers, don't get mad at me. It's all good. The brothers punked out and fainted. But they ain't know Jesus. They had no encounter with Jesus. But the sisters knew him. And then the angel says to them, "Y'all, don't be afraid. You don't have a reason to be afraid. Because I want you to know, Jesus, who was crucified, I want you to know, he ain't dead no more. He's been raised from the dead. And as he is sitting there on that stone, y'all, the angels are sitting there chilling. He ain't dead. He's raised. Go on and take a look for yourself. Go on and take a look. You see, I didn't move the stone for Jesus because Jesus ain't need me to move no stone.
Right.
Are you working with me?
Right.
You see, the stone wasn't moved for Jesus to get out. The stone was moved so that we could see him. You see, because he ain't need nobody to do anything for him. So he moved the stone so that the ladies could see in. And when they looked in, guess what they saw? An empty tomb. But you know what was left back in that tomb, y'all? Sin. You see, because sin was killed on the cross. Sin was beat down for us. You see, that's why Jesus took it to the cross with him. Sin thought that it was going to hang out with him and he was going to be there with him. But don't you know Jesus said, you know what? I ain't here permanently. I just came temporarily. So I just leave y'all here. And Jesus left. You see, and now that he left, and now that the sisters look in there, y'all, and when they looked in that tomb, guess what they saw? Nothing. Because their expectation was to see a dead man. But he was not in the tomb. And since he wasn't in the tomb, well, now what does the angel tell him? Listen, you go tell his disciples to go on to Galilee, and Jesus will see them there. And don't you know when them sisters looked in there, I want you to know they had what? Great joy.
Yes.
But then there's something, y'all, I need y'all to hold on and look at with me. Because it tells us that what they did was this. It tells us that once they came out, it tells us that they walked out, and when they left, it tells us in verse 8 that they left the tomb quickly. But they had two things, fear and great joy. Hold on now. How can fear hang out with great joy? The two, I thought, could not cohabitate. You see, since we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, every child of God ought to have great joy. Now, since we know we ought to have great joy, how in the world do we have great joy and fear cohabitating together?
All right.
You see, so I want you to know that there's the first problem I see. And we're going to see how this whole thing's going to work out. But the one thing that they made it a point to do is they would not stay where they were. They followed the instructions they were given. They got up and they followed it quickly and started leaving. You know what? But when they started leaving them roads, I don't know if they got 2 steps.
All right.
I don't know if they got 10 steps away. I don't know if they got 20 steps away. I really don't know how many steps they got away.
Right.
But I want you to know the Bible says something in here. It says in verse number 9, suddenly. You know why I get excited about suddenly? Because what it is that Jesus suddenly showed up. You see, my brothers and sisters, I get excited about that. You see, because if you're a child of God, you recognize that the Lord always shows up suddenly. He always shows up right on time. And as the terms say, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there. You see, I want you to know we got a God who can suddenly make some changes for us. We got a God who can suddenly make a way out of no way. We got a God who can suddenly part the doors for us. We got a God who can suddenly provide for us. Do I got a witness in this house? Has God ever done something for you suddenly? Because God is just good like that. I'm here to tell you today. As we see this, what we are seeing is God at work. And as he's here at work, y'all, what he says to them is greetings. And the Greek word that he is saying to them translates rejoice. It's like when I see Reverend Rhodes, I say, I rejoice in seeing you.
Amen.
He'll say he rejoices in seeing me. You know why? Because we're alive.
Amen.
So that's why we rejoice, because we are still here.
Amen.
And we're excited about seeing one another. But I want you to understand something, my brothers and my sisters. Don't you know after Sister Girl saw Jesus, you know what they immediately did, y'all? They ran over to him, took hold of his feet, and what did they do? They worshiped him. Now, what does that tell us as children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There ought not to be a child of God that comes to God's house who got to wait for somebody to tell him it's okay to praise God. You see, we are here to worship him because he has brought us a mighty long way. He's done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you think about where the Lord has brought you from, you can't help but worship him. You can't, when you think about all that he has done for you, you can't help but worship him. When you think about how he's making a way out of no way, you can't help but worship him. Some folk gave up on you a long time ago, but didn't the Lord step in right on time? That's why we got to worship him. Anybody feel like worshiping him? Is he worthy of our praise? I tell you, we're here because we're here to worship the one who has done great things for us. And his name is... You see, my brothers and sisters, the other thing I want you to know, that when they saw Jesus, the first thing they did was grab a hold of him. You see, I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, hold on tight. You see, when you grab a hold of Jesus, don't you dare let nobody cause you to let him go. Because you understand that you've come this far because the Lord has been there for you. So I say to you, go on and what? Hold on. And I know sometimes you're going to go through some storms, but I want you to know when you hold on to Jesus, he's going to make everything all right. So I say to you, go on and what? Hold on. When you realize that sometimes I might feel like I don't feel like praising God, but I think about what the Lord has done for me. Since I'm holding on, I know he's going to bring me through the whatever's in my life. So I don't care what folks say about you. I don't care how they talk about you. Don't you dare let go. You just make it your business to what? Hold on. You might be going through a rough time right now. Money might be a little funny, but I say go on and what? I know you might be going through an illness right now. Doctors aren't sure which way it's going to go, but you make it your business to what? You see, your marriage might be a little shaky, but you just go on in. Your children might be acting up, but go on in. Your job might look a little weak, but go on in. You see, no matter what goes on in our lives, what we going to do? Oh, my brothers and sisters. God wants us to know as his people. We got a what? And then Jesus said to them. Now this is where we got to understand something. Jesus says to them, do not be afraid. He's letting them know. Fear and great joy do not cohabitate. It's time for the fear to go. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let it go. Bye. You know how some folk you want to see gone and you don't want to be dealing with them again. What do you tell them? You don't say to them, I'll see you. You tell them what? See you, I wouldn't want to be you. You see, so we got to learn how to tell fear that it's got to go bye-bye. Because we understand that when we have the great joy in our lives, that the Lord is the one that's going to continue to make a way out of nowhere. Even when I don't understand some of the stuff I got to deal with, I still have to praise God. Even when it seems like it don't make sense, I still have to praise God. Even when our folk look at me funny, I still got to praise God. Because I understand that that God inhabits the praises of his people. And the reason why we praise him is because he brought us a mighty long way. Billy, I know you're walking with a cane. I know you're back messing with you. But you still got to praise God. Because guess what? You are still here. And if you keep your trust in God, before you know it, you'll take that cane and throw it somewhere. And you'll say to that cane, bye, I don't need you no more. This is what we got to believe today, my brothers and my sisters. When we know how good our God is,
We can look at some stuff and tell it bye. Well, Pastor, how are you going to tell it bye when I'm still dealing with it? I'm speaking into my life and calling things that are not as though they are. I'm already believing the healing. I'm already believing the deliverance. I'm already believing God's going to fix it. Do I got some folk in here who can believe? You got to tell some stuff in your life. Bye. I don't want to see you no more. Get out. Get out. Bye. The power of life and death is in. It's in our tongue. Some of us are going through hell because all we do is talk about hell. You got to learn how to tell some stuff. Bye. Get to stepping. So that's why Jesus said to them, you ain't got to be afraid. Amen. Tell fear bye. Amen. And then he reiterates something to them. Uh-huh. He reiterates what the angel said. Uh-huh. But check out how he says it. Okay. He says it like this in verse 10. Go and tell my brothers, to go to Galilee. Yeah. There they will see me. I want you to know, Mother Austin, this is the first scripture, or this is the first time Jesus calls his disciples brothers. Prior to this, the closest he came was, he said, I no longer call you slaves or servants. I call you friend. But now he's calling them brothers. Now, but hold on, Nicole. Why would he call them friend now? You see, because the time when he really need them the most is the time that they deserted him. The time when he needed them the most is the time when they were at their weakest. The time when he needed them to stand up, that was the time they rushed out. And you know what? That's the beauty of our God. He's saying to the ladies to tell them to call, he called them brothers to let them know. You know why he called them brothers? I care about you. Amen. Jesus was letting them know, I care about you. You are significant. You are important to me. We are family. Even though right now you ran out on me, but I told y'all was going to run out on me. I told you was going to scatter. So y'all did just what I told you were going to do. I expected you to do this, but I want you to know you're my brothers. You see, I care about you. And I want you to look around up in this place. If you are covered in the blood of the Lamb, I want you to know what you see around you is a whole bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we got to learn how to love on one another, care about one another, because we're all in this what? Together. We ain't kicking nobody to the curb. We are loving on one another. We are encouraging one another. We are assisting one another. Why? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And what made us all brothers and sisters in Christ is called the blood of Jesus. Don't you know, my brothers and my sisters, we call folk who are related to us through our mothers and our fathers, we say those are blood relatives. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you are a child of God, don't you know we are blood relatives, because we are all covered in the blood of the Lamb. I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, that you are significant. I am significant. All of us matter to God. So we got to see how we can respect and love one another, because we're all in this. Well, Pastor, you done did all that talking and got all excited. But what do you do with good news? I'm glad you asked. You see, I want you to know the first thing you do with good news. Y'all want to know what the first thing you do with good news is? David, I want you to know the first thing is believe. When you receive some good news, the first thing you got to do is what? Believe it. Because if you don't believe what you have just heard, then guess what? Who can you go help with it? Nobody. Even if you go try to tell somebody else about it, they ain't going to believe what you say, because they can look at you and say, oh, they lying. Isn't it amazing, Deacon Alex, how they take popular athletes, popular actors, and they use them to sell their products? You know why they believe in those products? Mike, they're getting paid. They're getting paid to believe in those products. So in actuality, their believing is not what comes from the inside. Their believing is coming from what somebody put in their hand. But what I'm here to tell you is that, you know why we believe? Because the Lord has touched us in the depths of our souls. The reason why we believe is because we saw that the Lord made a difference on the inside of us. And since the Lord made a difference on the inside of us, isn't that why we believe? Do I got a witness in God's house? We believe because the Lord has made a difference in our lives. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you know why he made a difference? Because he is the difference maker. And since he is the difference maker and he has made a difference in us, I want you to know the next step that we got to do is that if we believe, the next thing we got to do, brother, Reverend Rhodes, is we got to praise God. You see, we're here to worship God. So that way, whenever somebody ride past this church, sometimes to them, it might look like this church is just rocking. Why? Because the people of God are praising God. Why do we praise God? Because we what? Believe. Because our God is a mighty good God. And since our God is a good God, we ain't got no problems praising him. Why? Because we what? Believe. I ain't got to let you tell me it's time to praise God. When I come through the door, it's time to praise God. It was time to praise God when I woke up. It was time to praise God when I was in my car. Because my God has been mighty good to me. I ain't got to let you tell me to praise God. I'm going to praise God because he is a good God. He is my all in all. He brought me a mighty long way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Somebody not afraid to praise him. I praise him because I believe. I praise him because he's been good to me. I praise him because he's changed my life. Somebody ought to say thank you. Why? What do you do with praise? What do you do with good news? I didn't got excited about my own stuff. Woo! I tell you, I got a brother all wound up here. What do you do with good news? I'm going to get it. First thing we do is what?
Believe.
Second thing we do is what? Praise and worship. You know the third thing we do? You see, when it gets good to you. You see, when it gets good to you. Because you believe. And because you have worshiped him. When you leave this place, you're going to make it your business to do what? You got to share the word of God. You see, when you know that the Lord has done something for you, you know that he can do the same thing for those you encounter. You see, that's why we are difference makers. We go and let folk know the same God that made a difference in me is the same God that will make a difference in you. You see, I want you to know, I read something in a pastor's office. He said, it says it like this. If I have been through it and I talk about it, it ain't boasting. Think about that for a second. Ain't that right, Brother Phil? You done been through it. And who brought you through it? And that's why you ain't bragging. You ain't boasting. I'm just telling somebody about what God can do. Because he is a difference maker. And he is a healer. And he is one who will make a difference in our lives. So I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, if God has done something for you, you better go tell somebody else. You can't keep it. When you believe it and you worship, you got to share it with. So I'm telling you today, my brothers and sisters, when you leave this place, don't you dare keep that word to yourself, but share it with. Our God is good, y'all. And when we think about how good he is and what he does. Amen. Brother Phil, you made Brother Clinton a little nervous over there. Clinton said, I got to move out the way to give that brother some room to praise God. But you know what, Phil? When you think about all that the Lord has done for you, you can't help but praise him. That ain't just Phil's story. That's my story. And that's also your story. When you think about all that the Lord has protected you from, you got to praise him. When you think about all that he's brought you through, you got to praise him. When you think about all that he's doing in your life, you got to praise him. When other folk had threw the towel in on you, the Lord was still hanging out there with you. You see, that's why you got to praise him. Doctors might say you only had another month to live, but guess what? It's 10 years later. When you think about all that God has done, you got to praise him, my brothers and sisters. Why? Because I believe. And since I believe, I'm going to worship. Since I worship, I'm going to share it with somebody else. Oh, what a mighty God! What do you do with? First thing you do is what?
Believe.
Second thing you do what?
Praise.
The third thing is what?
Share.
We got that right. So we ain't got to question what we do with. We don't ever keep it to our. But share it with. That's the first time we heard that, ain't it? But it all starts. You know what it starts with? Do you believe? Brother JB, the reason why some folks struggle with believing, how can a good God want to take a mess like me? He doesn't know how messed up I am. He don't know half the stuff I done did. Well, let me explain something to you. There's nothing you and I have ever done that God don't know about. And even with him knowing all that you and I have done, guess what? He still stretched his arms wide. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He still stretched his arms wide. Went to the cross for you and I. So what I'm here to tell you today, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God.